in 5, 4, 3. News with Nick, November 11th, 11-11-2020. It's 7 p.m. The year is 20. Oh, wait, I already said the year is 2020, November 11th. Head on over to newswithnick.com and check out the show. You can watch the video versions of every show. And on the front page, if you head to the top right, you can type in your phone number, 10 digits or 11 digits. Because if you add 10, it'll automatically add the 1. And then you will get text updates when there's going to be shows going live or there's new shows posted or things like that. For the video version of this show, you're actually going to see some bonus content, and that is me from the side. And you'll find out why shortly. I'm from the front and I'm also from the side. Also, 1 week ago, we had the election stream. Someone in the background. We had the election stream. It was 3.5 hours of us watching states turn different colors and reading articles, and it was pretty fun. So you can head on over and watch that, and then you go to sleep, and then you wake up, and all the fake votes had been counted, and now the president has to change or something. I don't know. We'll have to cover that later. One side saying it's fine, one side saying it's not fine, and then you flip them, and it's like basically what 4 years ago, both sides were saying the other direction. You never. This is why I don't have an opinion on anything, because if you have an opinion, you're a hypocrite, probably. But that was fun, but it's only posted in video version, so you can only get that in video version on the site. No one would watch that 3 hours, though, so if you do, you're insane, but maybe you want to just skip around and be like, relive the magic of not knowing for several hours if there's going to be a new president. Okay, we do have an update for something we covered 2 months ago, I guess, about on September 10th, 2020. One of the stories I did right at the end of the show was about this Candyman, right? And if you actually watch the show, it's like 50 minutes in. I read the article, which was from CNN. A quirky candy maker has launched a nationwide treasure hunt, sending sugar mavens into a frenzy. Well, this is stupid CNN business. We shouldn't have picked them as a source. The game goes like this. Participants pay $49.99 to enter a treasure hunt, which takes place in every state. Only 1,000 tickets are sold per state, and everyone who buys a ticket is eligible to win Klein's Factory. So he was going to hide a ticket in every state, and then you're supposed to buy this clue and read the riddle and then go find it, and you win $5,000. And then at the end of it, apparently everyone who bought a ticket can also find another ticket. We don't know. Don't really know how that's going to work. And get his candy factory at the end. So I covered this story, and at the end of the show, you can see, like, I go to his YouTube, and he's live! He's live right now! And then that became my whole life, is I just subscribed to the candy maker's YouTube, and, like, 5 times a day, they would go live. And I was sort of paying attention to in the background, but most of the time, I just swiped away the notifications. But New Hampshire date started getting closer and closer, and I'm like, you know, New Hampshire's not sold out yet. Maybe we buy a ticket. Maybe I buy a ticket and I can send the clue over to Andrew or send the clue over to our friend Tom. And we could do like a team thing. It could be dumb because some of these states are being found in like an hour, right? So I buy a ticket so I can be part of the news. I want to be part of the news rather than just reporting the news to you guys. So six states actually started on November 7th, Idaho, Wisconsin, Montana, New York, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire. And so it was supposed to start at 10 a.m. So at about 9:45 to 9:50 a.m., I message Andrew, James, and Tom. And I say, hey, guys, there's going to be a riddle shortly, and I'm going to need you to solve it. So on the show here, Andrew, hi.
Hi, and you actually, your first message gave me a ton of anxiety.
Okay, go ahead.
You said, guys, I need you to solve a riddle in 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then you didn't tell us what the riddle was.
So, right, because it was going to be in 10 minutes.
No, I'm driving along and I go, oh God, I suck at riddles and I only have 10 minutes to solve it. And my mind is elsewhere right now. I got to focus on this riddle and I only have 10 minutes to focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just want to send the riddle.
Tom is also here.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. And I also sent you a, I don't remember what I sent, is like a warning. Did you even remember that the gold ticket hunt was happening this past weekend?
No, I remember you did the show about it, and then I messaged you and I said, like, hey, if you really want to, because you had said you might want to do that, and I said, hey, I'll help you out with that. And,
sure.
And he said, oh, okay, and then I think you sent me a confirmation that you bought a ticket, and I forgot all about it until you said, hey, riddle incoming in 5 minutes.
Right. So it was going to be a really nice weekend, so I guess I was just going to do it. It's an excuse to drive around anyway, and it is New Hampshire, so... Some of these states, like I read Idaho or Nevada's coming up. Do you guys know that states exist? About 8 days ago, we had to look at a map of them for a really long time. So some states are bigger than other states, which seems disproportionate when you're going to do golden ticket hunting. But anyway, New Hampshire riddle's about to release. So I send Tom and Andrew a message, and then I'm hunched over my computer, ready to release the riddle to the two people who are going to solve it for me. And I'm hoping it's super simple. I'm hoping it's like, go to a knock named Menad and run to the top, which would be a nearby mountain, right?
Or like an old face fell here.
Yeah. He was on the mountain and now he's down on the ground and his forehead is in pieces, right? If you were going to search New Hampshire for a golden ticket without any clues, there's like a couple places you'd go first, which is like the top of Mount Washington. Although I'm sure they wouldn't put it there because what if there was a blizzard?
And right. And it's November. You probably can't get up there at this point in time because there's snow there in August. Like there's areas where there's snow year round.
Right. I couldn't see any because when last time I was up there was in the fog. So I'm hunched over my computer. I'm like, there's gonna be a riddle and it's gonna be super easy. And I'm like ready to run out the door because some of these have been solved in a literal hour. All right, you guys ready to hear the riddle from New Hampshire that we got? Riddle: on November 7th, Charlie gave me 3 quarters. David gave me 3 silver dimes. Penny could care less about the money. She just wanted to go for a ride. Note: under a rock, but not on the ground, not in a dangerous place. Go, solve it, Andrew. You have 10 minutes.
I was just thinking all about, like, if there's any rocks on display and what it could be underneath. All the quarters and dimes thing was just throwing me off because the word silver made me think, okay, this has to do with money that I don't understand. I don't know what's happening with the money. So I focused on the rock and I just thought more about common places in New Hampshire. So I thought about the White Mountains. I thought about the roadside attractions. You know, where could a ticket be that people could access?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was listening to everybody kind of just give commentary, and I forgot all about the riddle in the first place. And people said things like diner, and I went, okay, where are their diners? And then someone said rocket, and I went, where are their rockets and missiles and all kinds of stuff like that?
Right.
Yeah, so I started going off in horrible directions, and I feel like I was very, very...
Hang on, technical issue. Keep talking for a sec. As you were saying, you were yelling stuff about rockets. And
yeah, I wasn't being helpful with the clues at all, but you guys were throwing out ideas, and I was trying to brainstorm about things that you hadn't thought of, and most of what I thought of I didn't ever share with you because I thought it was stupid.
Right, which is an interesting thing about brainstorming is that your idea could be dumb and it could be obviously wrong, but it does trigger someone else's idea, right?
Right. But I have a problem where if I'm going to say an idea, it has to be the idea. Like if I'm going to say it, we're going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had a mental map of New Hampshire in my mind, which I've been everywhere in New Hampshire. I've been on every road, every street, every town. So the whole time I'm just thinking geographically while you guys are trying to figure this stuff out.
Okay. That's helpful. And then James had said, oh, quarters and dimes, go to like an arcade, like the fun spot, which is the most famous arcade probably in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that was one of the easy spots, right? There's like Old Man of the Mountain. There's you know, the Flume Gorge, there's the fun spot, and then maybe some stuff on the seacoast. Other than that, where do you go? Mount Washington, and that's it.
Right. So, Tom, any thoughts on your first impressions of this riddle?
Yeah, so I had, like, the whole day I was out moving firewood thinking about this. And, like, so first thoughts was...
Well, this was hours
penny.
In. This was hours in. I'm talking about the first 10 minutes, right?
Oh, the first 10 minutes? I had no clue. I mean, I kind of thought that there was probably going to be some coding and ciphering. I used to do a lot of puzzles with codes and ciphers. And so, you know, and they have numbers in here already. So they say 3 quarters, 3 silver dimes, a penny. So there's obviously, like, money involved and numbers. But what was really weird was that it wrote silver dime, and I thought that was just really odd because,
for sure,
you know, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. You know, things that came to mind were Penny Pitau or Pitau. She was a Olympic skier up at Gunstock. And so I thought, oh, maybe something at Gunstock. They have a ski lift named the Penny Pitau Ski Lift, and that there's a ski museum up there somewhere up north. And she won a few silver medals or something, but not 3. So I started looking for athletes from New Hampshire that won 3 silver medals, and trying to think what else the dimes could be.
Right. Well, you said you also threw out fun spot. So
of course.
Said,
well, I mean, it said that people gave them, you know, coins, and so you're thinking like coin op stuff, and fun spot's the most obvious because it's got, you know, a classic arcade museum. It's got all sorts of machines and stuff and rides. It's got rides. So, like, and I think on the bottom floor where the kiddie rides are, I think there's like stuff like that would look like a rock, like a fake rock or a fake mountain. And they have a mini golf course that would have like a fake mountain or a fake rock. So I thought that was a pretty good guess. And I guess you ran into people when you went up that way.
Well, I said, well, okay, both my friends said fun spot. So let's go to fun spot. So I get in the car with the person I'm with. And we start driving to Fun Spot, and she's like, "Well, what other things could Penny go for a ride mean? What about one of those penny crushers, like those souvenir penny crushers?"
Yeah, that's all I could think about too. That and also anywhere that had like penny candy and ride. So like some sort of boardwalk situation or amusement park that had like cheap candy.
Right.
I was thinking about one of those, you know, those big spirals that you put the coin in, and it just goes in a circle over and over and
yeah.
over and over until it falls into a hole.
I love those. They say it's for charity, but I think it's for white supremacy.
What the heck?
But it's mesmerizing, so I put money in there anyway.
It's funny you say that. So as we're driving to Fun Spot, I think Tom sends along a list of all the penny crushers in New Hampshire. Who freaking knew that they just keep a track, like a database of every penny crusher in New Hampshire? I guess
I was super impressed with how many lists I was able to find of very obscure things in New Hampshire. And that was one of them. Like, wow, somebody listed out all the penny crushers. Okay.
So she starts reading them. And the third one down is the Krista McAuliffe Planetarium. And then she keeps reading. And I go, wait. Go back. The planetarium? And then I go, under a rock, not on the ground. That's it, 100%.
And silver dimes, mercury dimes.
Right. I didn't make that connection because I'm not smart enough for that. But I'm like, under a rock, not on the ground. Every rock that's not on the ground is in space. And then I rerouted us to the planetarium.
Oh, and when you look at the McAuliffe Discovery Center on Google, the rocket is labeled Redstone Rocket, Stone Rock.
I know, right? So I took this video.
It's actually labeled Mercury Redstone Rocket.
That's even better.
James is here, yeah. Too.
You know, I before we get too far from the topic of lists of random things across the state, I like this idea. I feel like we could be the arbiter of those lists. We could be the curator of those lists of random things across the state. Think about it. It's like Grand Theft Auto when you have to go around and find all the robot little things that you just like walk through and you collect the robots or whatever. Or the hidden letters across the land.
I feel like you're just describing geocaching, which is a thing that exists already.
Let's do it then. Also, I have experience with this. When I was a boy, we had a website, and we collected all the payphone numbers from across the city. And we kept an archive of them on the website.
You did that too? I did that.
See, it's a
you
thing.
You guys kept databases of payphone numbers?
Yes.
Did you call them?
Oh, yes, and we knew which ones you could call at what times of the day and what homeless people you could get in touch with.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
All right.
And we were also jerks. We would call and harass the homeless guy outside of Walmart.
Yeah, I had my own little phone book too. I had all like all the little payphones around the school and
yeah.
All
we
sorts
had
of fun
a symbol
numbers.
For our group. We were the sign stealers of Butler, the SSOB, and we had a GeoCities website. And you always knew if we were there because we would take the phone receiver on the payphone and turn it upside down and hang it up.
It's your calling card.
Yeah.
So
that's great. I had a GeoCities site too. I'm going to find yours on Internet Archive. I bet it's as terrible looking as mine.
We're way off track. I'm just going to mute you guys.
Sorry, Nick, but no, this is starting a new thing.
No, we're not starting a new thing.
Right now.
Back on topic. Nick, you're going to have to edit all this shit out.
All right, they're muted, so it's okay. All right, we'll go forward. Sorry, Andrew. What were you saying?
Just saying, we're across the country. We could really make something big here. This is an interstate list of random stupid things that we could populate and create.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a ton out there. So you just, first of all, you're going to need a list of things that there aren't lists of. So that's the first list.
We will create that list. We will be the gatekeepers of that list of things there aren't lists of.
So I take a video on the way to the planetarium because I'm like, if we find this thing here, I'm going to wish I had this video. So I'm going to play this video for the show, and you guys on the Zoom can't hear it, but it's about 15 seconds long.
Okay, we're on our way to the Krista McAuliffe Planetarium because we think that there's a golden ticket there based on the clues, and it's hidden under a rock that's not on the ground, which would be like all the rocks in space are not on the ground. So we're going to go there and check it out. Okay, bye.
I get there. We go right up to the Redstone Mercury rocket, and I crawl all under it. I'm like, there's nothing here. And I'm looking around like, is there like an outdoor display, like a moon? Because on the way there, I'd been Googling the names from the riddle. David and Charlie and Penny. And David and Charlie are both names of Apollo astronauts. And I was like, three-quarter moon. So three-quarters is the three-quarter moon. And a silver coin is like slang for the moon, maybe, kind of. And you go for a ride on a rocket. I don't know. And of course, as Tom said, Mercury, right? So as I'm crawling around and I'm like, it's not out here. Is there another display? No. So we go inside and we pay $23 to get into the planetarium, which in retrospect and in current spect, like even as I was doing it, I was like, they're not going to hide it in a place that you have to pay to get into.
That's what I was thinking.
Right. So that was dumb. But if the prize is $5,000, maybe people would do it. But that was a dumb idea. But I'm like, well, we're at the planetarium, so we're going to go in. And I'm looking all around, and there's nobody here. This place is abandoned. it was just us and like two other people that existed. So no one's paying attention to me. So I find this.
They weren't on the hunt. They were just existing near you.
Correct. Yeah, I didn't see anyone hunting here.
There definitely were other people that went to that place, though.
Yes. I'm not sure if it was their first stop or whatever. And then I took this video. I found a table that was the globe of the moon and then three samples of, like, moon. I'm not sure. I don't think it's real moon, but it's, like, Neil Armstrong's footprint or whatever.
So we have this table here. The moon globe. I lifted this up. I lifted up every single one of these, and I flipped this one, and I was like, it's a taped-down thing. It's just the taped-down wall hangy. I climbed under here.
What if we thought?
And I looked through this whole thing.
So I climbed under a table at the planetarium where there was a moon globe, and I thought, oh, it's not there. Well, I thought, maybe it's here, but it wasn't there. And then I climbed under a display of the Earth and started digging around where it says, do not cross this line, which is very dumb also. And then we go to the next room and playing from the souvenir room or whatever is Space Oddity, which is a David Bowie song about space. I'm like, David, it's 100% in there. So we run in there and we flip over the carpet, which is the carpet of the moon, and it wasn't under there either. So we go outside. I'm like, this is dumb. It wouldn't be inside anyway. Let's go outside. We walk around the back of the building, and we find a little plaque that says Sun, and then nearby it, there's a plaque that says Mercury, and it looks like it's going to be a spacewalk where they've set out the planets at certain intervals, so you walk it, and then you go, ooh, this is how far Jupiter is from your ass. And... and I was like, great. Oh, my God. We just have to follow this until the right planet and look around every one. Well, we found the Sun and we found Mercury and we couldn't freaking find Venus anywhere, which should be literally 10 feet from Mercury. And it's almost like they took down the spacewalk. Rebuttal, anyone?
I don't know. It just seems like you're, you know, only 1 or 2 degrees away from literally destroying museum objects to like crack them open to see if you're... ticket is inside of them.
Sure.
Like you're crawling around behind the do not cross rope, right? How long until you destroy that paper mache moon?
Right.
To just crack it open, hoping it's like a, you know, a pinata that doesn't have candy.
Well, remember the drive to the planetarium is like 45 minutes. That's a lot of time to convince yourself you're right.
Yeah, it's quite the investment. So if you think that you're there, like you think you're on track and you've looked everywhere, you looked under the carpet of the moon and you know, you've crawled beyond the do not cross rope and you've gone inside and outside. There's only so many places left it could possibly be. Let's start breaking stuff.
Mm-hmm. So while we're at the
I liked watching the videos of Nick looking under all these weird places and stuff and thinking about the museum staff watching him do these things and trying to figure out if he was either doing a prank video or if he was just like really autistic and he didn't know how a museum worked. And he thought that, you know, oh, I look at the floor underneath this rug and look underneath this globe. It's so amazing.
There was no museum. There were no museum workers. There was like 1 or 2 larger girls working the front desk, and they didn't know where Venus was either. And I'm like, of course you don't.
Well, then you went and you looked, you went outside. You were looking. They had like the Sun and the Mercury.
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then while we were there, Idaho was found. So that's one of the six states already found. And then the Candyman and his assistant go live.
Don't you have to feel bad for these people in states like the size of Idaho?
Yes.
Or California?
Yeah, that's Texas? Insane.
Jesus. Like, you can cross, you can get from any corner of New Hampshire to the extreme corner, opposite corner of New Hampshire in 3 hours.
Right. Anyone who's doing these things, this is like they took the whole weekend off. They took several days off, or they have.
Are there other hunts like this out in the world? Because I feel like we need to create on our GeoCities website. We need to keep a list of all the potential hunts that are out there and then continue to go after them. Every week there needs to be a new hunt.
I think that this is a hobby that people engage in that we weren't aware of until now. So this is something we can look into.
This is great. Greatest discovery of my life found at 34 years of age.
All right. So I finally leave the planetarium dejected. I'm like, we failed. Oh, well, that was a good hunt. At least we went to the planetarium. So we're like, let's go to Fun Spot. Right. So I drive on the way to Fun Spot. I stop suddenly and I go, wait, let's check here. I see the Endicott Rock Monument, which is at Weir's Beach.
Ooh, Weir's Beach.
Weir's Beach. And I'm like, Rock Monument, that's 100% it. We jump out of the car and we find it and we start walking over there and there's already 2 people like pacing the monument, staring at it. And I'm like, they're not looking at it like tourists. Did we run into our first new hunters? And then I took this video. It's 1 minute long.
This is amazing. Have you guys found any golden tickets out here?
Right on the ground.
Wow, this is amazing.
This is so great.
We found another person who's in the thing. Where do you drive from?
Near Boston. Massachusetts was all full.
Oh, you're a transplanter.
I am.
No judgment. That's funny. This is great.
Yeah.
Where else have you been?
This is it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was our first thought.
How did you know about this place? How did you know about this?
We did Google.
Oh, really? We were just driving by, literally.
So we thought Silver Lake.
So they
30 miles from Silver Lake.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
So they Googled it and they drove up here from Massachusetts and went to this same monument that we went to.
Really? Well, it could be found.
I was like, this is great.
We've been looking on Facebook and
she gave me a
Facebook group.
She gave me a lead here. She says, I checked on Facebook to see if it was found yet. and it's not. And I said, oh, there's a Facebook group? Of course there is. But I'd never joined it. So this was the first I'd heard of the Facebook group.
And let's not bury the lead here. I think we're getting hung up on a lot of the details. But
yes.
Really, so if you find this golden ticket, I don't think it's been said enough. What happens?
Well, I mean, I'm not hung up on the details. I'm doing the experience. Like, this was the first time we found someone else who was hunting. And I was like, oh, my God, if we find someone else who was hunting, maybe we're on the right track.
I'm just saying, yes, and then that's all great, and it's very fun. But realistically, why is everyone hunting for this? Just because somebody on YouTube announced there's a hidden ticket? Like, what happens if you get the ticket?
It's $5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah.
That's the motive. For people to
well,
do this.
And I brought this point up is like, if you've got a time all weekend to drive around and do this, you either really need the money or you really don't need the money. There's no in between.
And this is the thing too. Once we get this website created and we start getting very excellent at this, we will be the creators of the treasure hunts. We will control all these people hunting for the $5,000. We'll give the $5,000. That's my goal.
I head on over to FunSpot, look around, look under the asteroids machine, you know, rocks not on the ground, and I decide it's probably not in FunSpot either. It's probably not on private property. So we're getting near the end of day one. Tom, how is it going in your brain at the end of day one?
I have been over everything. At this point, I'm done with my yard work, and I am now sitting in front of Google full time. I am
really
stuck on these. I'm thinking about these coins. I can't stop thinking about these coins. So I'm thinking about other vending machines, particularly like ones that would have been around long enough that people would have put silver dimes in them. You know, I'm trying to find different historic vending machines in museums. So I'm looking up lists of museums, and then I'm like, well, you know, so it's got to be in like a public place or something. So I look up lists of state parks, lists of statues.
Why are you spending so much time on this? $5,000?
Nick, I told you that I was gonna win this thing.
Yeah, I know.
I'm good at these puzzles. I've solved a lot of
there's like a thousand tickets. What? And you're spending so much time that someone else is gonna grab it first, even if you do solve the what you think is the location. But because you were putting so much time into it, I felt bad.
I really wanted to win.
All right.
And it's not even just the money. It's like, it makes me feel like great to like win. It's something like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Winning there was a site way more fun than the money.
Yeah. There was a site called the Master Theorem, and every week they would post a new puzzle, and it was a lot of codes and ciphers and things like that. And, you know, sometimes I would get them pretty quick, but I would never get them first. And one time I was like, I'm going to get this one. And I did. And I solved it first out of like, I don't know, I think 700 people managed
to
solve it.
Amazing. So,
and I was super happy because if you solve one of the puzzles first, you get a special medal on your account and it's worth like a fuck ton of points. And so that like rocketed me up the scoreboard. And then like not that much longer than that, they decided they were going to shut down the site. And before they did so, they gave everybody every award. So everybody got that award, and it kicked everybody's score up, and it knocked me down to, like, I don't know, like 57th place or 47th place or something like that.
Horrible.
That sucked, because I was, like, top 10. But I like puzzles and codes and things like that, so this was pretty good. It was just so damn tough. So I'm just looking up all these lists. I started looking up lists of bicycle paths because of taking a ride. Getting back to the coins, I thought, well, what would you give coins to? What about like a wishing well or a fountain? So I was like trying to find all the fountains. I found a fountain, an old fountain outside of Canobie Lake Park, which is a play amusement park. So they have rides. So I'm like looking at that on satellite photos. And I'm using Google Street View to virtually drive around these places to look at them. I thought maybe like the three silver dimes, like maybe that was code for like 30 pieces of silver. Mm-hmm. So I'm like reading about Judas and Jesus.
Yeah.
And all
oh
that
my God.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we could take the numbers from the coins. And I thought maybe there was a way to get a zip code out of them because there was enough numbers that it could be a zip code. And our zip codes do start with 03 mostly.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even
try
that.
Pretty
That's
much
crazy.
All combinations of that. And
yeah, I was
that didn't really
like
get me anywhere.
Route 105 for, or Route 106, even if you add the penny to the
total. Yeah, I was hoping to find like highways that had those numbers and crossed somewhere.
Yep. So so we're thinking a lot of stuff, basically.
Yeah, we have a kick of state routes and highways and numbered roads for a little while.
So we head home, and did you have?
Well,
more
no, I got more. Hold on.
Oh, gee, I mean, we're going to be going for a little while.
Oh, it's just two more. Well, just one more. Franklin and Lincoln, New Hampshire, both came up because Franklin Roosevelt's on the dime, and
Lincoln
is on the penny.
That ties into day two, right?
Well, those were just we thought of those on day one.
Oh, so okay.
Those are my day one comments, so you can go on to day two now.
So every 24 hours, there's a new hint to help people find it. And everyone on the Facebook is going, I got no clue. I got no clue. And I'm like, good, at least they have no clue also. Hint number one that came 10 a.m. on Sunday. Casey wears numbers you'll see when here. Sorry, let me start over. Casey wears numbers you'll see when there. I'm on display for all to stare. Reading my riddle could give you my city. Treasure hunting is fun, and enjoy this ditty. Like I said, ditty is a song or a poem or something. I don't know what to do with this.
It's like, boy, I sure wish these clues weren't so shitty.
Hey, this is a child-friendly show.
It is?
So, or like Casey, we're Googling Casey. We're getting a lot of hits to Casey Jones, this famous engineer. The chat says baseball ? Everyone thinks baseball when they hear Casey. Is it because
The most famous Casey is Casey at Bat, which was like an 1888 poem.
That's a weird last name for a baseball player.
So I reread the poem. That didn't give me any hints. I looked at the author is Ernest Thayer, and I'm like, oh, Thayer. That's also the last name of the characters in On Golden Pond, which was filmed at Squam Lake in New Hampshire. So I tried to find any connection to that. No, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm out. I got the day to do this anyway, so I have to do something. So I think we shoot over to Franklin first and find this railroad station. But it's really not really a railroad station. It more looks like a caboose with stairs on it that looks like a guy's house that I think someone might be living in there. So we walked around that for a bit looking for anything useful. I mean, if it had been here, I'm not sure I would have found it because I didn't really crawl under the thing anyway. And then reading my riddle could give you my city. We had to keep going back to that line because that points you to looking at the original riddle and saying, what city could it be? It could be Franklin. It could be Washington. It could be anything presidential. So we headed to Lincoln because of the penny and went to the most obvious place you could go to in Lincoln, which is the Hobo Railroad Station, and walked around there for a while, didn't see anything obvious, and shortly after leaving, and there were other people pulling in and out of there, but nobody clearly searching, but there was no other reason for them to be there either. So I think they probably were. As we finally left there, after walking around on what was marked as private property, after finally leaving there, we got an alert to the page that's tracking the clues and says, it's not at the Hobo Railroad. Please do not go there. Apparently, the owners of the Hobo Railroad had notified the organizers that people were like stalking around the property, so they had to send out an alert that said, do not go to the Hobo Railroad.
And they had also told people not to go to the Speedway in Loudoun.
Correct. Yeah, I forgot one. People had been apparently digging around the welcome signs or the signs at Loudoun Speedway. We did see someone as I was driving by, a girl like peering her head into the stone wall near the sign of the Speedway. So they did tell people to stop going there, too, because I guess the state police were taking notice of strange behavior in the parking lot.
And the funny thing is they spelled Loudoun wrong, too.
Yeah.
Didn't anyone notice that?
That'd be funny if they spelled it wrong and then it was there and they were like, no, we didn't say not Loudoun.
It was a super mean clue.
Right. That's the thing. We were concerned as to how specific these clues were, right? If they say reading my riddle will give you my city, does that mean it's a city? Because there's like 13 cities in New Hampshire, right? and then 1,000 small towns. During this day, Wisconsin was found in the morning, so Wisconsin was claimed.
This is Sunday?
This is Sunday. So before noon, Wisconsin was claimed. And I think on Sunday, we also headed north. We actually did stop by the White Mountains because we were close enough anyway. Or sorry, the Old Man of the Mountain because we were close enough anyway. And I kind of more at this point wanted to see, like, can we find any other hunters or people like doing something crazy, like digging up rocks and being a crazy person? Because that'd be way more exciting. I mean, it wouldn't be more exciting than winning, but it's more likely. So, like, I'm trying to shift my expectations here. Like, oh, we can find some cool people doing crazy stuff.
And what are the level of your expectations at this point, you know, 36 hours in or 24 hours in?
Oh, my expectations were nothing to begin with. My expectation was it's going to be a nice weekend, and I can do some driving around, which I don't really ever do.
Okay.
I never knew there were so many railroads in New Hampshire. There's some you can, like, pay and then go on just a scenic ride. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done it. James and I, we've done it together.
Wow. I kind of forget all the places I
went. There's also one, just so you know, and if you and your co-pilot there ever want to take a nice drive in the fall and go for a nice train ride, there's a dinner train where you can have a five-star meal on a train and look at fall colors and cruise through the mountains in the aforementioned Lincoln, New Hampshire.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to do that.
I've done it. It was fantastic.
I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to...
I don't want to do it again, but once you do it once, you're good.
I don't know. I'm going to do what you did on the ski lift and just do this. Like, go around again. Next meal. Tom, thoughts on day two?
Day two. I'm trying to think which was... What was the new clue we got that day?
I read it twice. Casey wears numbers you'll see when there.
Yeah,
I'm on display for all to stare. Reading my riddle could give you my city. Treasure hunting is fun and enjoy this ditty.
Yeah, I already... Yeah, the Casey at bat thing was the only new thing I got there. And then when it said that it would give you the city, I said, okay, well, instead of the riddle gives you the city. So these things we were getting later were clues.
Yeah.
So it meant that the day one thing had the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the list of New Hampshire cities and towns, which is like 200 or so. And I read through it, God knows how many times, like looking at each one and thinking, how could it fit with silver? How could it fit with this? How could it fit with a ride? How could it fit with 75? How could it fit with coins? I'm like,
how much time did you spend on this on Sunday then? Because you said you spent all day Saturday thinking about it while stacking wood. And then after that, you spent multiple hours, it sounds like.
Probably 8 or 9 or 10. I don't know. Most of the day.
Oh, my God.
The wood stacking must have been the most clarity you had, right? When you're doing something like that, there's no point in time where your mind is sharper than like doing something like stacking wood.
Yeah, you got nothing to do with your mind, so... You got plenty of time to think about things.
Well, I felt sort of bad, but I didn't feel as bad if like Andrew or James were spending all this time, because if they had a breakthrough using Google and wanted me to drive somewhere, I would have to do it. But you're still in the state, so if you wanted badly enough to go somewhere, you could have gone there, I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, if I was closer to it, I would go and check it out.
Right. Because if you were like, here's a lead, and I was like, I don't got the time to go 2 hours away to check this or however long it's going to be. Because there were some places that I'm like, maybe I would head there if I had infinite time, but I'm just like, it's not worth the risk. It's not worth wasting my day.
I don't think you have to go. And so you can go if you want to just look around to see maybe, or if you have no idea. But like, I got to have a real lead to make me want to go. And thanks to Google Street View, most places I can really get a good look at. And
yeah,
I'm looking for rocks and like, boy, you know, where would there even be a rock here? There's no public anything here. Like there's just can't be in this particular place. So it was pretty easy to like rule things out. Even if they sounded really good, you'd look at them and just kind of go, nah.
Yeah. And there was another redstone rocket that is on display elsewhere. We didn't end up going to that.
In Warren, New Hampshire. And I only brought that up after a lot of debating with myself because Warren, New Hampshire is such a small, off-the-beaten-path town that I thought there's no way it would be there. But after all the rocket talk, I finally mentioned it.
And we never knew whether or not the note, it's under a rock, if that was like just, hey, we put it under a rock, or if that was some red herring, or if that was actually a clue, like it was a... you know, a painting of a rock and a mural.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing I did. I found like every mural in New Hampshire that I could find because I was thinking maybe this shit is just painted on a wall and it's not really a real rock or it's not a real, you know, whatever. It's just something on a mural.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who doesn't know, New Hampshire is the granite state and granite is a rock.
Yeah. I'm like, everything's a literal rock.
Yeah. Everything.
It's like, it's hidden under a pumpkin at the pumpkin festival. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I started looking for any place that would have a version of the old man on the mountain. Like I thought maybe the welcome centers on the interstates, I thought maybe they would have a big, you know, man on the mountain thing up there or something like that. So I was trying to find photos from inside all of the welcome stations and stuff like that.
So later that night, Pennsylvania is claimed around 5:30 p.m. and it was found in Bath, Pennsylvania.
Where's that?
I don't know. Far away from you.
Oh.
East.
Could be closer to you.
Yeah, it was the eastern side of the state.
And so we can read their clue, and it references stuff like bombs for bath bomb and make a friend with leaves because it was near a friendship tree. And jolly has the word in it for jolly green giant. It was on Green Street. I'm like, wow, okay, so words can obscurely mean other things. And there's no way for you to know what they were intending. So Pennsylvania was found. We go to bed. We wake up. And Montana is found early the next day. This is Monday now, so I got to go to work. I'm like, that was a fun weekend. If we have another breakthrough, because New Hampshire is still going, fine. Like, I could take some time off and go somewhere. Or Tom could. But at this point, it's like, okay, I'm just waiting to see what happens, and I'm just monitoring the Facebook page at this point. Everyone's going, New Hampshire's so hard, and New York is so hard, because of the six that were running, four are now down. Montana was claimed near a train that said, welcome to Laurel. And the way they found Laurel was in the riddle. It said, on my honor, blah, blah, blah. On my honor, I will find this gold ticket. So Laurel, I guess the definition, one of the definitions is like giving someone an honor. So they found it near an orange train in Laurel. It's like a train. Well, we've been thinking trains this whole time. So does that mean it's more likely to be at a train or less likely to be at a train? Because why would they do two trains? I guess there's only so many objects that exist, right? But so we're on day three, and then we get the clue for day three. So this is the second hint, one riddle, two hints. The grand old man's in town with silver hair loved to wheel his wife around in a chair. They could see themselves in the fork and spoon. Check out the ledge under the edge at noon. And I don't really have much update for Monday because I didn't do anything.
I'm just thinking rocks, ledge, wheelchair, handicap. I don't know.
Right. Water wheels? Yeah, I know. Do we need to find an old folks? I was like Googling old folks homes. do we need to find an old lady who likes to be wheeled around and ask her, where's the golden ticket? I thought there was
so much in this clue. I thought, boy, this is going to be enough to figure this one out. I spent most of Monday. I did some work on Monday. I had some meetings and stuff, but I didn't really get a lot done.
You also spent most of Monday on this?
Yeah, I have an academic job. I it's not like I'm punching in at a factory.
Oh my
God. So here were some thoughts I had on Monday. So the noon thing was interesting. So I'm like, you know, what places open at noon? Why noon? And then I thought maybe noon is like a directional pointing. Like, so maybe there's like a big sundial or like a clock mosaic on like in like tiles on a floor or something. So I'm Googling around. I found a list of sundials in New Hampshire. Someone has a list of sundials. So I checked all those out. None of those were big enough to hide anything underneath.
I mean, it's not a big thing. How big does a sundial have to be to hide something under?
Well, it has to be big enough to be noteworthy.
Yeah. Well, oh. No, they were just like a little pedestal, and if it's under a rock, there was no way to get a rock under it.
Okay.
And I was thinking all about, you know, numbers on display. Okay, so maybe there's a big clock somewhere, whether it's digital or analog, or maybe it's like the dog track. There's lots of numbers happening up on display there. I was thinking, but I wasn't sharing with you.
And I was thinking that maybe there's a big 12 somewhere, and the number, you know, the things under the 12, that'd be noon. But then I'm like, I don't know about all these numbers. And I'm like, Casey, where's the numbers? Casey at bat? Like, there's no picture of him wearing a uniform. So the only number you can get is 9 from the Mudville 9, but that's a single number. That's not numbers. So that was really throwing me off. And then the clue says grand old man. So I'm like, okay, grand. Grand is capitalized, which is really interesting. They really want you to look at the word grand. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, grand. Well, that's like also $1,000. So who's on $1,000 bill? Who's the grand old man on the bill? And it's Grover Cleveland. And I looked up Grover Cleveland in New Hampshire, and it turns out he had a summer house in New Hampshire.
Wow.
So I start researching Grover Cleveland's summer house, which is somewhere up north. And I find it, and it's like out. It seems like it's almost privately owned at this point. It's not
a thing, you know, we're doing some B&E.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to break into the president's old house. And, you know, I'm going through here. I'm like, grand. So I found a site, this great site that'll do words associated with. So they're not even words that necessarily follow, but they're words that are associated with. So I'm putting grand through there, and I'm finding things like grand hotels. So there's a grand hotels. There's the Balsams Resort. There's the Mountain View Grand Hotel. So I'm checking all of these things on Google Street View and going through their websites. I'm trying to find grand pianos. Like, maybe there's a bunch of grand pianos around the state. Old man. I went through the lyrics to Neil Young's Old Man.
Holy crap.
I didn't find anything in there. And then it says, you know, he wheeled his wife around, and the only female name in any of these riddles was Penny. So I started Googling people that had a wife named Penelope. And Odysseus had a wife named Penelope, so I had to read through, you know, the Odyssey stuff and look at all that stuff and look for things that were connected with Odysseus in New Hampshire.
Now, when you found, like, when you were on a lead, like Odysseus, right? Do you decide to move on from the lead?
I guess whenever I get, like, really frustrated with it. Okay. I'll put maybe like 20 minutes, 30 minutes into one. Usually wow. I'll try to, well, it has to come to a location, right? So like with Odysseus, I can't narrow it down to a location. We don't have an Ithaca, New Hampshire. So I really couldn't find anything to use on that one. And then like, for example, the Grover Cleveland one, I looked at the location. There just was no place that it could be. It just was not a good candidate. So I think that's as far as I got there.
Okay.
I looked for famous disabled wives. I don't remember exactly what the Google searches I was doing, but I was trying to find people whose wives were disabled, that they would wheel around in a chair. I think at this point I also started looking at maps of ski trails at ski mountains, because, you know, they have all sorts of weird names for the ski trails. And I thought, well, I better look those over, because, you know, there'd be, for each of those ski trails, there'll be a sign with that written on it, and it could be something related to the clue. So I went through all the ski maps in state. And then, like, fork and spoon. So I started looking at, there was a fork and spoon diner in Manchester, but it had closed. And on one of the street view images, you can see their sign with a fork and a spoon, and the sign is all chrome, and you could see yourself in this shiny sign. And I got all excited. And then I went further down the street on Street View, and then the restaurant is closed and the sign is ripped down. So that can't be that.
Okay.
And I started looking at coin stores. So I looked at every coin store in New Hampshire on Google Street View, and I got really, really excited because there was one down around like Hampton, and it's a coin store, and it says silver in the window, you know? And then right next to it is a diner, and the diner's sign has a big knife and a fork around it. I'm like, oh my God, oh, this might be it. And then I look around, and everything is concrete. There's nothing you could dig up. There's no rocks that you could find. There's just nothing there. Nothing fits. There's no numbers.
Right? Like, you just lined up two or three things that line up perfectly.
Yeah.
Based on the few clues that you have. So it's almost like you can't just ignore that. You have to go and prove yourself wrong that that's not possible. Because
yeah, well, I went like a half mile up and down the street looking for significant numbers because I went there on Street View.
Okay.
No, you'll lose precious time driving.
This is why there's so much anxiety involved with this. Like, do you go to Hampton? Do you walk around and look for that rock or that stone? You know, do you try and find the stuff you can't see on Street View? Yeah, sure, you can go up and down the Street View, but you got to see the real thing sometimes, especially if you're lining up two or three clues.
I agree, but I mean, you can much more quickly knock out possibilities from Google.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Hampton, it kept mentioning rides, and they put that again in the clue. So I'm like, well, there's only so many places in New Hampshire that have rides, and Hampton Beach has water slides and stuff like that, roller coasters. So I was like, well, I'll just Google Street View, drive down the main drag and take a look. And I noticed that the street signs in Hampton Beach are A Street, C Street, B Street, D Street, F Street, etc. And the clue mentions, you know, Charlie gave me, David gave me, Penny gave me. Those could just be clues for letters. It could be C75, D30, that type of thing. So I looked at C and D Street because there was Charlie and David. And when you go to Hampton Beach, if you look from the main street up between C and D, what is right there at the corner is a candy store, and there's water slides on the same block. And I'm like, candy, it's the candy man's treasure hunt. So I had to look all around those blocks. But again, there really wasn't like any place that stuff could be hidden. There were no numbers. There didn't seem to. So that was just, that was another strikeout.
So we're getting toward the end of day three now, and the Facebook is going crazy. They're like, did New York and New Hampshire get switched? This makes no sense. We can't find anything. And then later in the afternoon, about 5 o'clock, New York was found. So this is the fifth of the six states to fall. And I'm telling the chat, hey guys, New York was found. So we're like the last one standing. The clock is either ticking or the riddle is broken. Right.
Or the whole country thinks New Hampshire is stupid.
Yep. So I don't really think much. I mean, I'm sending you guys updates, but I don't really think anything of it. I mean, I think about it, but it's keeping me up. And all I can do is think of cities that it could be. And I'm like, it must be Lincoln, right? That makes the most sense of all the cities because the penny in Lincoln, whatever. So we don't get any messages in the chat until 9:20 the next day when Tom says, I got excited about this, but couldn't find anything else that fits. And he sends us a picture of Victoria's Kitchen with a fork and a spoon on the sign near a coin store. This is Tuesday morning.
Day four.
Yeah, day four. And no state has gone 5 days. Rhode Island went 4 days, so we're at the tippy top of the states. And I'm like, their people in the Facebook are thinking, oh, a kid found it, or someone found it and just took it, and other people have been to the location already. Because every location in New Hampshire has to have been searched by now. And I go, oh, wow, a photo with a fork and a spoon. And Tom says, but it's right next to a coin store. And I say, well, does fork and spoon maybe just refer to silverware? And Tom says, possibly. And he says, Gorham is a famous silverware brand. Tom, I didn't even know that. Because I'm not rich enough to have
silverware. The night before, I went back here and I looked at my Google search history. And the night before this, at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, I was in my Googling of lists. I was looking for a list of silverware manufacturers because why not? I've tried everything else. And Google was just giving me like Bed Bath & Beyond and Walmart and trying to sell me silverware. And I got very frustrated and I said, fuck it. I don't know. Whatever. It's Oneida and I don't know. Oneida.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't think of any at the time. But
yeah,
and then Nick.
Tom, to be fair, nobody is a famous silverware manufacturer.
Oneida is very famous. They make the best. And that's why
really?
I have it.
Rest of the planet. Does anybody else think that?
Well, I needed to get new silverware a few years ago, so I did a lot of research and tried to find out what was the best. And the answer is Oneida before they outsourced everything off offshore. So I have vintage Oneida stainless steel.
You're the only person who knows that.
So I just randomly said fork and spoon just refers to silverware, though, ? And then did that like make you think that of more silverware brands or what?
Yeah, I mean, it just made me return to that line of thinking that I had the night before. And I said, You know, I don't know. I mean, Gorham makes silver. Oh, and there's a Gorham, New Hampshire. I wonder if that could be anything. Okay. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, that's another, you know, possibility to go down. And so I hopped on Google Street View and I drove up to Gorham. And
yeah, and at this point,
I just started.
It's 9:30 a.m. and there's going to be another clue coming out in half an hour. Right.
Yeah. I was getting in the mood. I was getting warmed up
right?
for the new clue.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm driving down the main street of Gorham there. And I was like, oh, hey, this is where we rented the snowmobiles and we went riding because I saw the Chinese place that we ate at. I was like, oh, we've been to this town before. And I was going down the thing and I'm going through and I'm like, oh, there's a park here. I'm going to come back and look at this park. I'll go around the park on Street View. And so I start going around the park and I notice a train and I'm like, wasn't the like Montana one or something was on a train?
There's 1,000 trains. Everything in New Hampshire is a train. I never knew there were so many.
Yeah, but it's a train and it's next to a park. So I'm going to go look at it.
Okay.
So I Google Street View, drive up that street, and I'm getting very frustrated because for some reason this street is extremely blurry on Google. I don't know why. And I'm looking at the train cars, and they say, like, Vermont something something, something something something. And I kind of zoom to the end, and there's, like, a train station. And I look at the train station, and it says Grand Trunk Railway.
Grand?
So.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, Grand Trunk. And I cut that out of the Google Street View and I sent it to Nick and I say, look at that. It says Grand. And then I back up to the locomotive.
And I'm in a meeting at this point and I'm just getting an image that says Grand Truck Railway. And I'm like, that looks cool. It has the word Grand and it's a railroad. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I'm hoping that you do well and thanks for working on it this whole time. But I'm like at work.
Yeah. And so I back up down the street and I start looking at the trains some more. And the locomotive also has a sign that says Grand Trunk on it. And then I notice that on the side of the locomotive, there's a number. And the number is 7531. And I immediately know that this is correct because I've done all the on day one, I did all the numerology and codes and ciphers and stuff. And so the most obvious thing to do.
You pull up your list of ciphers that you've created.
Yeah, is to take the... is you take the coins and you figure out how many cents they're worth, and those are the numbers. And I was trying to put those into like a Caesar cipher or something and turn those back into words and letters and things. But I had this page up with all the numbers, and right there on one of the numbers is 7531. So when I see that number, I know immediately, like, this has got to be it. Like, there's too many things that are right, and they're all in the exact same place, and it's on a train, and we saw one of the other winning clues was on the train. So I screenshot it. I sent it to Nick. I say, like, I think I got it.
You said, oh, my God, I think I found it. I should drive now. Check the numbers. 75, 30, and 1 going now. And I just see those messages fly by while I'm in my meeting.
And yeah, not only that, this is day 4. It's Tuesday, but we only have 3 days' worth of clues.
Yeah, right. it was like 20 minutes or so before the new clue came out. And so I wanted to make sure that I got up there as soon as possible because I knew this new clue was going to come out and it could give away the location. And so I knew, you know, I got to really hurry. So I threw the dogs in their crates. I put on real pants. I wasn't going to go in my underwear. It didn't seem smart. But I didn't really get dressed. I was wearing like a shirt that was torn. I didn't have time to really go to the bathroom at all or get coffee or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of ran out the door and just started driving. So I don't know what you were doing at work. If you were just thinking, did you think I was onto it or did you think this was just something to check out?
I was feeling bad that you were going to drive 2 hours to a place that obviously everyone searched already because the whole state's been searched. And
I was jealous. I wanted to be the driver.
I mean, it was too perfect. It had to be it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I was convinced. I said, fuck it. I'll do my work when I get home at night. And I just left. I did my meetings with my students on the phone while I was driving. So that was good.
You hit the road though. And the problem is the new clue's coming out and you're pretty far away. So once the new clue comes out, if it directs people, if, if your hunch is correct, right, if this is the ticket, if this is the place, people are going to get a heads up and they might be a whole lot closer than you because you're pretty darn far.
Yeah, I think that when, well, my hope was that most people were staying in the southern half of the state, although technically your best shot would be to get a hotel right in the center of the state. But yeah, I was worried about that. And I was thinking, you know, the new clue, Nick sent the new clue while I was driving. I was maybe up by Milton or something like that. So I was like, boy, you know, I hope nobody in the like Laconia area got this, because they might be able to get there.
The last clue had some interesting info on it. I fall from above and love little towns. My grandpa Randy left me 2 silver pounds in all caps. Look under the ledge near the wheel. A rock held me down so no one will steal. STEEL. And then in addition to that, there was a note that said, if the gold ticket is not found today, we do not plan on releasing any future clues at this time. We will be checking on the gold ticket to make sure it's still where it was left. Everyone is free to continue their search, but we have multiple reasons to question if it's still in place. We will update New Hampshire players as fast as we can. This clue came out while Tom was driving.
Right. And so they think that there's a chance that somebody not associated with the treasure hunt may have found the golden ticket and just threw it away.
And I guess they hid these back in like August, so it is potentially possible. I got that clue. Nick sent that to me while I was driving, and I skimmed it. The first part, I had no idea what any of that meant, and it didn't really matter to me because I was convinced that I had the right location. I did note the under a ledge by the edge type thing because that seemed like it was going to be helpful. And when they mentioned a wheel and steel, that was like, well, great. A locomotive's got ton of wheels and it's made of steel. This is great. So I just drove faster.
Amazing. I mean, amazing that you wanted to dedicate your day to that. So thank you.
Why wouldn't I? I've solved it. I was 100% convinced I solved
that. Was
I did not. I had no doubt in my mind that that is where I was supposed to go.
Okay. I was basically like, are we judging this on anything other than a train and some numbers?
There's no way. There's no, those numbers were too perfect.
Okay. I understand. So you drive to Gorham. You know you're, if you think you're right, you know you're in a race against other people.
Yeah. And so I on my way up, I am peeing in a bottle because I'm like, well,
really?
I'm on a race. Yeah, I peed in a bottle. I was not going to pull over and go pee. That would cost me at least a minute or two. So I peed in a bottle.
What kind of bottle?
Oh, an Arizona iced tea gallon jug. That's the best trucker bottle you can get.
Wow.
It's got a wide mouth and an excellent handle.
I was
highly recommended.
Never peed in a bottle.
You were a trucker and you never peed in a jug?
No, I peed in, big gulps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that doesn't have a lid. That can go horribly wrong.
Lady, put the lid back on.
Okay, that's a story for another time, and maybe there's a product that can solve this.
I'm so impressed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I get there, and I'm relieved when I get there because I don't see anybody near
bottle.
The train. Yes. I don't see anybody near the train. I don't see anybody parked near it or anything. So I just roll my car up, and I park right outside the train, and I get to work, right? I start looking around the wheels. I look up underneath it. I'm kind of making a quick circle around the locomotive just to see if it's something obvious, like a really big rock. And then within about a minute to 2 minutes of me getting there, these two kids roll up. They're guys like, I don't know, early 20s maybe. Mm-hmm. And they're walking straight towards me and the thing. And I'm like, damn it. And they're like, did you find anything yet? And I'm like, no, I've been here. I've been looking over this thing for hours. I don't think it's here, guys.
Amazing.
So Nick, I believe you noticed somebody on the Facebook page saying that it took me hours to find it.
That's so funny. I didn't know that.
And you
this
were wondering
happened.
Why? It's because every time people came up, I told them that I've been over this thing completely.
You're
for hours.
A genius.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, I don't want them to keep looking. I want them to be demoralized and leave.
Man.
So I'm trying to throw them off the scent. I'm trying to demoralize, get them out of here, but they keep looking, damn it. So they're running
jugs so you can mark your territory.
Yeah. You get back, I'll spray this pee.
So I, at this point, I think I spent maybe about 8 minutes going over this train. I didn't think that you would have to climb up into it because it did say, please keep off. But, you know, I did climb up inside of it and everything. Just got to check.
And James
looked inside.
Yeah, James and I are in the chat. He's still throwing out ideas for, like, go to the Waterwheel Cafe, which it turns out people had gone to as well. I'm thinking, like, if it's a rock that's visible on the train, it's not going to be that because someone would move a rock if you saw it on, like, the step of a train because that's out of
place.
Yeah,
and so that, after, like, I don't know, a few minutes, I pop open the chat and I very quickly write, like, ledge, edge, something, tell me where to look, give me ideas, because I've run out of ideas. I've looked everywhere. And I'm kind of like, shit, I don't see any. The other guys wandered off. They started looking around the train station. So did the man and woman who showed up. They're looking around the train station. I make a quick pass around the train station, and I notice that every single rock on the ground has been turned over and moved.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, this has been flipped over.
The museum's destroyed.
Yeah. And there was a cart that had a bunch of antique trunks on it. So I went through all those trunks real quick. I assumed someone else already had, but I have to look. And then I'm like running out of ideas. And I think back to the noon, you know, look at noon. And I noticed that there's a building next door. It's like the city town hall and there's a clock tower. So I'm like, maybe it's over there. Maybe the train is just to get you here. And then you got to go to the noon, right? You got to go to the clock. So I walk over there and it's also like the police station. And there's like a cop hanging outside talking to somebody. They don't seem at all concerned that there's all these people showing up and crawling all over this train. They
so, Tom, I got to cut you off for a second. So, do you have any idea the level of excitement and anxiety you were causing all of us? At least I know how I felt, and I assume the other guys felt this way too. But I was with a customer standing in there face-to-face with like six people, and my phone is going crazy with updates and then all of a sudden calls. And I'm pulling my phone out of my pocket, and I'm seeing like, join the Facebook group call. And I'm in the middle of
all right,
of
Andrew, that's cool. So anyway, Tom, keep going.
So I quickly look around at that place and I don't see anything. So I'm like, I got to get back to the train. That's where I knew it's got to be there. It has to be there. I'm not leaving until I find that damn thing. And the other people are looking around too. And at this point, I start to think like there's kind of like a tray underneath the boiler, I don't know what it is, and it kind of slants inward, and I'm thinking like, oh, maybe they put it under a rock there and it like slid back into this thing. So I pull out my phone and my flashlight and I start looking like real deep inside this thing, and I'm kind of looking in there to see if it slid into this filth. And you know, I do another pass around the train. I'm looking in like every little crevice. We were all kind of looking for a fairly big rock, but I mean, we had been over this, so it must have been smaller.
Okay, so you're gonna.
It was missing.
So yeah, it's missing, obviously, right? So when are you gonna give up?
And I said, and one of the kids said, like, oh yeah, they heard that somebody moved it already or something. I said, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, what if you were like worked at this museum and you walked out and somebody had put a rock, you know, on top of your train, you'd be like, why does this rock on my train? And you'd take it off and you'd be like, what the hell is this necklace? And you'd take it. And that would be that. So I tried to convince them to leave. I said, yeah, this is you just give up. And at this point I was like, well, I'm going to crawl under this train. Because maybe I just need a different perspective. So I just crawl underneath it and I start looking all around under there. And,
oh my, how long were you crawling under the train?
I don't know, a couple of minutes.
Really? A couple
not
minutes? Okay. Still a long time to be
in
under
the right
a train.
Place. And, you know, I'm kind of pulling myself back out from under the train, and I'm looking up in the kind of the I-beam that forms the edge of the thing, and I see this little piece of gravel, and I'm like, oh, that's a rock.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were all looking for a big rock, but this little piece of gravel, and it's really dark, and I reach out, and I grab it, and when I grab it, I feel the you know, the part of the necklace, the chain. And I'm like, oh my God, I got it. And I scream, I got it. And everybody else there is like, no, they're so upset. And I come out and I'm just like, I'm jumping up and down. I'm like, so excited. They're like, can I see it? And I'm like, no, cause it has a code. You can't see. Wait. And so I have to cover it up. And I have my finger over it. And I'm like, you can see it. There you go. And then I get on and I take a photo of it and I send it to you guys.
Well, Tom messages the chat. I'm still talking with Puke and I'm like checked out basically. I'm like, okay, Tom's going to go for a nice drive. It is a great day. I'm happy for him. And we're chatting. And then all of a sudden I just hear in the chat, I won. And then a photo of Tom with the ticket. And I go, how the hell did Tom have time to stop by a store, buy a ticket in order to take a photo of it and convince us all he had won? And then I go, wait, it might be real. Everyone get in here, I yell, and I start a group call. Andrew?
Okay, that's where I was interrupted with my customer because I didn't know any of this was happening because I had been stuck. Like at the height, the climax of everything here, all the messages back and forth, all the updates from Tom while he's there underneath the train, I'm not getting to see any of this in real time. I just feel my phone buzzing over and over. So I pull my phone out in front of the customer at one point, and it took every ounce of self-control I had to not answer that group call while standing there with like six people around me.
Uh-huh.
And I was very upset. Like I wanted to run out of the building.
Oh my God. So Tom answers and I still kind of don't believe it, but then he swings the ticket in front of the camera and I go, get out of there. They're going to get you.
No, yeah, I thought he'd be attacked.
Yeah.
You said that. My mom said that. I was like, yeah, I got it around my neck. She's like, don't show anybody. Don't let people see that. I'm like, Mom, I got a gun.
Haven't
like,
you what? Seen the nobody Charlie in the Chocolate me. Factory and when all the people tried to beat him in the streets for it?
Yeah, I was waiting for Slugworth to show up and offer more money for it.
Right.
Yeah, when the Lord of the Rings creature turned evil all of a sudden.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the best part was when Tom informed us that he was carrying a firearm. No problems there. Ain't nobody getting over on Tom.
Oh, boy. So we've been going for an hour. There's still more stuff to cover here. A lot. So Tom's like, well, what do I do? And I pull out the rules and I say, okay, well, this is what we have to do next. And also there's a lot of people and people saw you grab it, right? And I was like, what are they doing? Like, was there anything else noteworthy about the people around you, Tom?
So the two kids, they left pretty quickly. They stuck around for a few minutes just to, you know, I was mostly talking to you guys and they're all just watching me. And the couple that was there, the lady was live streaming or doing a video chat with her teammate or something. And so she's like taking a video of me talking to you. And I'm like, I'm trying to have a conversation here. And then the guy that was with her was like, oh, we're going to go get lunch. You should buy us lunch. So
amazing.
You know, the thought of lunch was really good. I mean, Nick was like, we got to take some photos and we got to do some emails. And I'm like, I am so thirsty.
Yeah, we have to confirm that we found it. It's the respect. Like, what if other people are driving across the state? It's the right thing to do to tell them the hunt is over. We have it. But
I assumed that the people that saw me win and that were live streaming were going to be telling everybody that it had been found. And I didn't see any requirement that said we have to report it within a certain number of minutes.
There's not.
And I had to go to the bathroom.
So that's what Tom says. He says, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to grab some food.
And calm down, right?
Right.
Because Nick said that they'll call me. You know, they're going to call in like 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm like, I don't want to do that right now. So I went to McDonald's. I got some food and a drink. And I brought them back. And I sat down at the picnic table outside of the train. And I sat there with my GoPro, and I was so hoping that other treasure hunters would show up, because once they started looking, I'd give them a few minutes to look around, and then I'd say, hey, guys, I already found it. And then I'd get all these videos of people being disappointed.
I knew it. I assumed, I partly thought, you know what, he's not even going to report it. He's just going to keep it and be, so there's going to be 50 winners, but I figured maybe Tom wanted there to be 49 winners and one guy that ruined it for everyone.
So I had my lunch. It was nice. And then I took the photos of the winning ticket.
Well, during your lunch, I'm scrolling the Facebook because I'm like, someone has to know. So it took several minutes. And then suddenly, finally, someone says it's been found, right? Just on a comment thread. Now, there's thousands of people waiting for this news to occur. And Tom's just chilling, going to the bathroom and eating his lunch while the world is waiting for golden ticket news. And this lady says, Sherry just says, it's been found. People are going, what? Proof? What is it? She's like, I don't have proof. Someone else says, I saw Or no, she says it's been found. It took the guy several hours at the location to find it. which is what you were telling people, right? People started getting mad that she's spreading rumors of it being found with no proof. And this girl, Christine, says, I was there. I saw him find it, and I'm still crying. People are yelling, where? I'm not laughing at her crying. That is sad. And I'm happy that she also made it there. People are saying, where? Other people are spreading the news that it was in Gorham at the museum. So the rumor mill, the rumor railroad is running. And then I keep refreshing. I'm like, Tom, finish your lunch. The world is waiting. And then finally, the organizer posts. And she says, it sounds like there's rumors of someone having found it, but we have not gotten anyone claiming it yet. So 54 minutes from the time you said I won was the time that we told them we'd won. So the world waited 54 minutes to get confirmation that News with Nick had won the gold ticket New Hampshire hunt that we covered 2 months ago. Amazing. Tom?
Yay!
Amazing work, Tom. I don't know.
Thank you. I was pretty happy.
I'm so proud of everybody.
I didn't do anything.
I mean, I know, but I was so proud of you. Like, you initiated everything. You got the ideas rolling. You got everyone's brain thinking about this. And then Tom just executed everything and thought all these great ideas.
Right.
You did all the searching on the weekend.
I mean, sure, but I didn't accomplish anything. Yes, I originally found the story of, hey, it's the gold ticket guy. Should we get a ticket? And then Tom encouraged me to do so. So we did. And Tom wins it.
It sounded like something fun that I would be good at, so.
It's the most exciting thing I've barely been involved in.
So Tom did take a video. Do you want me to play your YouTube video?
Sure. I'm going to go get a beer while you play it.
Okay, it's going to be 1 minute long.
News with Nick field reporter Tom here in Gorham, New Hampshire. So the riddle leads us to Gorham because Gorham is a manufacturer of silverware, and the clue mentions silver a lot and forks and spoons. It says that they would see themselves on a fork and spoon, which means that that would be the manufacturer stamped on the back of the spoon would be Gorham. So when you get to Gorham, that's the main street right over there. And if you were here looking at noon, like the clue said, this clock tower up here chimes at noon, so it would draw you to this location. And from this location, you see Grand Trunk Railway. So that's a clue over here. And then if you walk just over here, you'll see that there's a locomotive over here. And the locomotive also says Grand Trunk on it. There's also a number on the locomotive that says 7531. So the clue said 3/4, 3 dimes, and a penny. So 75 cents, 31 cents. That gets you your number. And then the clue says that it's under the ledge, near the edge, and by a wheel. But it's not on the ground, under a rock. So if you walk over here by these wheels, and you go up underneath here, right on the edge here, there was a little piece of gravel here, and right under that little tiny rock, that's where the ticket was. So everybody was out here looking for a big rock, turning over every rock around these buildings and stuff, but it turned out to be a very small rock. But anyways, that's how you solve the riddle, and that's how you find the golden ticket. News with Nick, signing off.
So you took the GoPro video, but you weren't wearing the GoPro when you found the ticket.
No, I thought about bringing a chest rig or something, but I couldn't find it, and I didn't want to waste any time leaving the house. And I'm glad I didn't, because, I mean, those people showed up just minutes after me.
Right. Amazing. And then they want to call you and have you live on the gold ticket. You know, the YouTube video that I was like, oh, they're live like every single day. Now we're famous. Now Tom has to call in and be the New Hampshire winner with the Candyman and the gold ticket lady. And so at first there was like some rumor that Tom was a worker of the museum or a forest worker or something like that, that like maybe you heard the day before or over the weekend that people were searching and you'd eventually found it and that you were a non-player. And right before they call you, they tell the live stream, there's been some rumors, we're going to sort this out or something like that. And then they call you and they're like, are you a park ranger? Right?
Yeah, they're like, do you work for Parks and Rec? And I'm like,
oh, not Parks and Rec, what? And park ranger? Same thing, right?
I had no idea what they were talking about. And I'm like, I mean, I was wearing a shirt that said conserve freedom and it had like mountains and trees and an eagle on it. Maybe like someone saw that and thought I worked for like the rec department. I had no idea what they were talking about.
And so at the end of the show today, I'm just going to tack on the interview you had with them.
Okay.
But was there anything noteworthy? I think you had to pull over and talk to the Candyman and Stephanie on the side of the road.
Yeah. I don't know. It was good. You gave me like a heads up that they're going to ask me what I want to spend the $5,000 on.
Yeah.
So I came up with a great irresponsible spending idea, which would be a pinball machine, which maybe that's what I would. I don't know.
Right. So now we got to fill out all this paperwork. I got to fill out a W-9. They're going to 1099 MISC this money. So it's all taxable income. So we'll have about $5 when we're done.
Listening to that interview, I've never been prouder of any other human being on the planet.
I know. What the hell? Tom, have you ever done anything that you're not good at?
I'm sure I have.
I knew it. It's
but nothing. I got all this practice at doing these interview things by being on Puke in the Gang.
Right? Yeah, you were perfect
back in
the day. For a split second, I was like, do they really think that he was like a Parks and Rec employee? Because they also asked you, do you know who you're talking to?
And luckily, I have watched a few of their videos of them to see how they think and stuff. And I at least remembered the lady's name and I knew he was Candyman.
Right. Yeah. So now, I mean, I thought that there's a misunderstanding that only the winners go to the national hunt, but it's everybody. So all 1,000 ticket holders or whatever, not every state sold out, but from every state who has a ticket goes on to the national hunt. I thought it was going to be like Hunger Games, where only the winners move on to win the candy factory. So round two, we're all going to have to be in an airport and wait for the clue to come out and then fly wherever Tom tells us to.
I think the ticket. Are we hunting for a ticket? It's a key, though, right? It's the key to the
Yeah, I'm not sure what
factory.
The object will be, but if you win... You win the real estate, you win the candy-making machines, and you win 1 year at the Madison, Wisconsin Candy Confectory School or something. So you have to go to school, and then you have to own a candy factory, and that's your life. So I hope we win.
I've spent like 29 years in school. I don't think I need another one. Although I don't have a candy degree. I'm not a candy professor.
Right?
When is this?
After all of the states are done, the exact date is not answered, but I think there are 31. We were the 31st state to be found, so there's 19 more.
Okay, and how often do they release new rounds of states?
They probably do 5 a week.
Okay.
Well, if they hurry up, I'm in California.
Oh, yeah, we're scattered across the country. How many teams cover this much territory?
So there's 1,000 possible entries per state.
But how many teams?
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
Oh, right.
Right. So we weren't all in New Hampshire for this hunt. Therefore, we couldn't all be physically hunting. However, you and Tom are up in New Hampshire. You're tucked away in that corner of the country. I'm in Pennsylvania. James is in California. We have a network of listeners scattered across the entire country. We could crowdsource success here.
Right. We can't specifically share it with the listeners as part of the show, but we could share it with like the 7 as part of a private group.
Right. We could reach out individually to people.
Yeah. Any semblance of posting it publicly is a disqualification.
I think I know where the key is going to be hidden, but I'm not going to say it on this show in case they're listening and then they're going to change the location.
I'm sure Tom already knows where it is. He's just going to be waiting there with his hands out. I knew it.
The candy. Give me the candy store.
Wow. Thanks for coming to the show, guys. Amazing work. Does anyone else have any more to cover?
It'd be really boring if the key was just outside the candy store already.
It's just in the door ready to be turned.
God damn it. That's the location I was going to say. And now they're not going to do it. It would be in the door.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Well, we solved it, I guess. Sorry, Tom.
Now they have to find a new location. Oh, I had two more things that I had on my list here. I looked around last night. I couldn't get off the Facebook groups for this. I had to like see what everybody was saying, right? And
you were scrolling the gold ticket Facebook group?
Yes.
So I've been the face of the winning team, even though I don't deserve it. So like I said, you're welcome to post yourself. But
I don't want people knowing who I am.
I know.
Or what
you
I
acted
do.
Like that in the interview, right? My name's Tom. I work at a university.
Yeah.
And it's too late for me. Here's my face. Here's my name. So
so anyways, I saw this post from somebody. And after the thing was over, they said, "Aw, man, we should have figured that out. We figured it would be someplace on Route 2 because that route is directly between the place that it was hidden in Vermont and the place it was hidden in Maine. And Gorham is on Route 2. So I don't know where it was in Vermont and Maine, but apparently it was essentially on the road between the two hiding locations."
That's interesting. So they were driving from one to the other and just stopped.
And that is the skinny part of New Hampshire. So you kind of cross right through it pretty quickly.
Yeah. So, and I actually had thought something similar. Might have been like day one. I was like trying to figure out a reason it would be Hampton Beach. And I was like, well, if they flew into Boston and they had to hide Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine, they would probably drive up 95. And that's a pretty short drive. So I don't know. I was thinking about it, but I had no idea that it was hidden up north in Vermont and Maine there.
Where was New York's?
New Windsor.
Where's that?
I'm happy I even knew that. I haven't memorized every location. I just happened to know it was New Windsor.
Wasn't it like at a almost like a welcome center or something?
It was at the welcome sign of Welcome to New Windsor.
Oh. It's on the Hudson River. By 84, which is the place you would cross if you're going over to Connecticut to hide one in Connecticut.
Yep, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New York are probably all in the similar area.
One thing.
So that guy had a really good idea with where to look. It's too bad he didn't follow through.
One thing that was in the interview was they said we thought it was missing and we were booking a ticket to fly there check it. That was crazy. I am so shocked. Okay, $50 a ticket. We're not bad at math. 1,000 tickets per state, even if only 25% of them sell. That's still a good chunk of money. You can't get someone, a minion, to go do your hiding and your checking. I'm surprised that they were going to fly here themselves and drive there and check on the ticket.
Well, it's a serious business. You can't trust anybody.
I guess. I mean, it is hard to trust people in the world in general, but
surely there must be a candy confidant that they can trust.
I don't know. Do you guys want to become the new Candyman minions? Like, we could see if we can work for them, and then we could be the new hiders, and Andrew could fulfill his dream of running the hunt, but he'd have to be an apprentice for a bit. But then
Andrew, do you want to get paid in jelly beans?
No, but I just want to run the hunt.
You got to be an apprentice, but then you can secretly take over, and then you will be the new Candyman.
No, I want to be hunting for a while first, and then as I age, as my skills dull, which I don't have any, but you know, as my body starts to fade, then I'll be the organizer.
Okay.
I thought it was weird. There's these people that were saying that they had gone to that train like the day before, and they're like, "We looked all over, we didn't find anything." And I'm like, "You gave up?" Like, it was so obviously the right spot. I would not have left that place. I would have searched until dark, and then I would have been using my phone light to search. Like, I was not going to give up. So I'm glad I found it in 20-some minutes or something like that.
Yeah, what's amazing is I can't believe that other people had gone there. And, like, the clue stated that it was under a rock but not on the ground. So why would you be turning over rocks that were on the ground? Like, it was obviously, like, off of the ground. So it's crazy. Tom should get so much credit for figuring this out
and following the directions.
Yeah.
Some guy up there had picked up one of those like big granite markers like out of the ground, like a 100-pound granite marker. I'm like, what are you doing? It says it's not on the ground.
Not only did Tom beat everyone in New Hampshire, he beat every other state, because New Hampshire was like the hardest one, people were saying. He's basically the number one solver in the country.
Awesome. I had no idea there was 1,000. I thought it was 100. I thought we were competing against 100.
I know. When I started this, I thought it was way fewer, and I don't know why, because I went back to the News with Nick episode, and I clearly read 1,000, so I was just confused as to how many tickets were sold.
For some reason, I thought it was 100 tube, and I was thinking like, oh, well, that's how they get the prize money, right? Because 100 people at $50 each, that's the $5,000 prize, and then they give away the thing. And then when you tell me it's 1,000, I'm like, oh, well, they're making a lot of money because there's several states that are sold out, and so you're getting 50 grand sure. from those.
I mean, I don't like to do math and then tell someone else how much money they're making, but because there are stuff we don't see, but. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's website expenses and maybe they do have minions and stuff, and it sounds like they're fixing up the candy factory and paying off the debt on it. So I don't know what they're doing, but they're certainly making more money than I thought when I thought they were only selling 100 tickets.
Sure. Yeah.
It also explains how you ran into so many people when you were out there.
Right. Yeah. Running into some and then seeing some on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for coming, Tom.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. It was super fun. That was like really, really good way to spend 4 days. And now I got this amazing souvenir. I love this thing. This
I know.
Great.
You have to hang that to the pinball machine or stick it to it or something.
Yeah.
All right. So listeners, we're going to play the interview with Tom with the candy people. So people on the Zoom, I guess, with me can jump off and then go watch it again or go have a beer. Or I'll start
it. Hey, thanks for putting this together.
Okay, cool. Thanks for coming, everyone. Bye, Andrew.
Yay.
Newswithnick.com is the website. Head over there. Type in your text. Type in your number so that I can text you the updates. And bye, everyone. If I can get YouTube to play.
Oh, my gosh.
Megan?
Talk about
is
crazy.
Is that Megan there?
How you doing, Megan?
Megan, this was the craziest out of all of them. Unreal.
Oh, my
crazy.
Gosh.
Unreal.
You guys don't know what we go through over
you
here.
Have no idea.
Does anyone have some spare heart medication or some deodorant?
Let me call the guy.
You don't want to give people a chance to come in? They like
coming.
Hearing
they're coming. It'll take a while to get them on the phone.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think so. Right. Whew. Okay.
This should be good. We've heard all kinds of rumors. Let's see if he works for the Parks and Recs.
I don't think he works for Parks and Rec.
Because he was a member.
He was.
And you can't get in once it starts.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello?
Congratulations.
Is this Nick?
Is this Nick?
This is Tom, Nick's teammate.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Okay, first of all, are you guys in a safe spot?
Are you with Nick?
I just pulled over.
Oh, okay.
Good. That's more important than anything.
Yep.
Second of all. What's second of all?
I don't know. Who are you with now? Are you the actual one who found it on the team?
Who gets the 5,000?
Well, that'd be Nick.
I'm the one who found it. So Nick had to work today, so I was doing the driving today, and he did all the driving on the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Because we've heard a lot about you.
You worked. Did anybody with you work for the Park and Rec?
No. Yes. Like, what are you talking about?
Does anybody
work? We've heard rumors.
We've heard rumors about you guys.
No. I did have a shirt that said conservation on it. Maybe that's why
they Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Probably.
So how long have you guys been working on it, and what took you so long?
Looking at it all weekend, and you know, yesterday I googled something that would have let me do it, but I didn't follow down that enough, and I rethought about it this morning. I don't know, can I talk about the riddle?
Sure.
Oh yeah, everything's good now. That's over with.
Okay, so here's how I like this out is, you know, the riddle mentions silver, and that came up a few times, and then they mention a fork and a spoon, and it says that they would see themselves on the fork and spoon. And so Gorham is a manufacturer of fine silverware,
right?
And so it was made by Gorham. It would say Gorham on the fork and spoon, and Gorham is also a town in New Hampshire, up north. And so I went up to New Hampshire, to Gorham, New Hampshire, and if you're on the main street in Gorham, and you're there at noon, sorry, I turned this through my...
That's okay.
Just be safe, would you please?
Gorham at noon, then you will hear a clock tower chiming, and if you go over to that clock tower that's chiming at noon, you'll see a sign on a railway station that says Grand Trunk Railway, and right next to that is a locomotive. And the locomotive also says trunk on it, and it also has a number, 7531.
Mm-hmm.
Who mentioned 3/4, which would be 75 cents, and 3 dimes, which would be 30, and then a penny, so that would be 31. So that's 7531. As soon as I saw that number, I knew that it had to be somewhere right around here, and I was looking for a little bit underneath the thing, and two guys showed up from another team. And then a few minutes later, a man or a woman from another team showed up. So, you know, I did another pass around the railway station, and I crawled back under the train. And we were all looking for, you know, a fairly sizable rock because the ground was covered with gravel. And we were all looking around. But I was underneath there, and I saw a very small piece of gravel. It was only an inch or two big. And wow. That was up, you know, towards the edge under the ledge, as it said. And right underneath there was the golden ticket. So I was super.
Oh my gosh. I told Stephanie that nobody was going to crawl under there. How yeah. long I was. If you hadn't crawled under there, you probably wouldn't have found it or what?
Yeah. Well, there were people who were crawling all over that train.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
Because it really wasn't meant for somebody to find by having to crawl under there.
Yeah, we thought they'd just touch on the ledge.
I don't know. Wow.
That's amazing.
So who was the one that actually found it? You?
I found
it. Yeah, he's the finder.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. So who are these other people connected with you?
Well, Nick is the leader of the team. He's Nick of Nick.
News
and
I'm
his
Nick.
Teammate, Tom. And then we have a few other people that we talk about things with. And so we were out searching all weekend, basically.
Wow. And where are you guys based out of? New Hampshire?
Yep, I'm from kind of south central New Hampshire, and Nick is out in the southwestern corner.
What is this news with Nick? What kind of deal is that? What is that?
He does a news podcast.
Oh, cool. Oh,
we should be on there. Why aren't we on there? Does he know you found it?
Yeah, he emailed.
He submitted it.
Yeah.
He'll do a story on you, I'm sure. I think he's already talked about this story before.
Oh, my cool. God. So what do you do for a living?
I work at a university.
Can you give a little bit more?
I do something with computers.
Oh, cool.
Okay. What's it, like top secret type thing?
Yeah. Very cool.
How did you guys hear about us in the beginning?
I heard it from Nick. He read a news story or something on the treasure hunt. So you'd have to ask him where he heard about it.
So how does the 5,000 get split up?
How many ways?
I don't know. Nick said I could have the money, but I got to give him some because he's $50.
That's nice. Wow. How nice is that?
By a pinball machine, I'd be happy.
Cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Okay, now, do you know who you're talking to right now?
I'm talking to the Candyman.
And?
Aunt Stephanie?
Yeah.
Stephanie,
yeah,
wow.
You know.
I watched a few of your YouTube broadcasts.
Oh, neat.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Thank you very much. So this is exciting. I mean, you know we're going to be doing a documentary. You know, obviously, we need to include you in on that. No problem.
Sure. Yep.
Cool. Fun stuff.
This
wow.
is good.
This is very good. You have no idea the drama behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There have been like easily probably half dozen people who told us it was not there and we can't say anything. You know, we're just like, okay, are these people right or what's going on? We were ready to fly out there and that was the plan to check on it. Because
we already called the airline and found out what airport to fly into. We were going to fly into Manchester. Do you know where that airport is?
Yep.
How long would that have taken us from Manchester to drive there?
Probably 2.5 to 3 hours.
But a good ride, no mountains or anything?
Oh, it's beautiful mountains up here. It's just the most beautiful week. We're having such lovely weather. So it's
oh, my.
Crazy.
I'm almost sorry we didn't come up there.
I am.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's almost sorry that we didn't have to go up there.
Oh, you missed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh wow! Are the trees all changed yet?
Yeah, most of the leaves are down, but it's still beautiful mountain views and lakes and streams, and this is just a beautiful part of the state. So it was nice to get an excuse to take a drive up here.
You sound like you're very intelligent. Are you?
I would like to think so. But I'm not going to brag.
Married or not married? Because I'm nosy.
No,
Not married?
Maybe you will now. That'll be the next show. You know? Treasure hunt for a bride.
So you've lived in New Hampshire most of your life?
I've lived up here for about 10 years.
Okay. And prior to that, where were you?
Central Pennsylvania.
Really? So is this the only state that you guys have been going after, or did you try other ones?
We're just doing New Hampshire.
Well, are you going to do some others? I don't know what's available around there. I think everything's...
I'm not. I heard my brain thinking that much.
Oh. Well, it worked.
Those were really tough clues, but once you got it, it makes sense. But
yeah.
So what was the one clue that gave it away?
Probably the silver.
Silver brought him to the town.
And if the riddle gives away the town or the city. So as soon as I got the connection between Gorm and silver, I knew I was on the right track.
Cool.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I am so happy that, and I know the money's going to go to good use.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to buy a pinball machine.
Yeah.
That's a possible thing to do with the money.
You know what? How old are you right now?
37.
That's exactly what I would be doing.
You got a popcorn machine.
Yeah,
so buy you something relate, that you, you know?
Buy something that you have no use for. That's those, fantastic.
Yes. Wow. Well, that's, thank you. And congratulations.
How much is a pinball machine?
$1,200, $1,500? They're multiple thousands.
But depending on
least,
how good.
At least buy a nice one and post it on Facebook or somewhere.
Do you have any pictures of your find or anything? Or
I think he got the heck out of there before anybody.
Probably. There was other.
When I get home.
Yeah. Good. Cool.
Wow. Oh, I think they make a Willy Wonka pinball machine. That would be appropriate.
Yeah, right? You know that would be.
We can't talk anything about Willy Wonka.
Can't.
But that would be great.
No, I mentioned that. Never mind.
I'm happy for
you. Candy themed pinball machine.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. You sound like a good guy.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks
so what?
Oh, and
who's going to contact us next?
Well, we'll talk to Nick in email to get him the forms to fill out. So we can process everything and get the check out to you guys.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you.
And
all right.
One more question. How long has it been? You let us know right away, or were you getting a haircut? What happened?
I ran out of the house. I figured it out, and I ran out of the house, so I didn't have any chance to drink anything or eat anything for breakfast. And I got here. I was so hungry, and I had to go to the bathroom. And I just...
All right, so hunger and bathroom came above letting us know.
Okay. And you had to let Nick know. Nick had to be the one to submit it, so.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Cool.
I'm happy for you guys. I really, really am.
Yeah.
So there's you, there's Nick. Who else?
We got James and Andrew and Sophie. There's a few people that we've talked to about it.
Oh, my.
Cool.
Okay. Well, I'm happy for everybody there.
Yes.
And I can now put New Hampshire on the wall.
Yes, you can.
That is the 31st state that has been claimed. We have 19 left.
Awesome.
Now, you know what this means. You know what this means.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be eligible to win the factory.
Everybody's eligible.
Anybody that enters.
Don't forget about that.
Awesome.
Were you aware of that or no?
I am aware of that.
Okay, well, so let's say you guys win, guys and gals, because I heard a few gals' names in there. Who is going to come claim the factory?
It would probably be Nick or me.
Yeah? You guys candy makers?
I've made some candy in the past.
Oh, no, cool. What kind of candy have you made?
Things like that. Peanut brittle.
That's good.
Nougat.
I've never made
some hard candy.
Oh, wow.
I'm impressed.
I am too.
You made it in your house or you sold it or what did you do with it?
I just made it in my kitchen. I was watching Good Eats and he was making some candy.
I like him. I've always liked
him. Yeah, I always liked him too.
He's got a unique personality.
Yep, he's awesome. I like that he put science into the cooking.
Is he still around on the Food Network channel?
Yep.
Very, wow, I haven't watched that.
We've been on the Food Network channel twice. Did you see our episodes?
No, I hadn't.
Go to Google and put in Sandy Candy Food Network channel.
All right. I'll have to check that out when I get home.
And then another one we did Gummy Eyeballs. I don't know if you can find that on YouTube. If you find it, let me know.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you guys so
Tom?
Much for putting this
Wait.
On.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom. Sorry.
Tom, even though it racked your brain, it was worth it, wasn't it?
Oh, it was absolutely worth it. It was like so exhilarating when I finally found it.
Exhilarating. I love it. Only cool. Only treasure you've known in your life, or you've been on others?
I think that's the first like legit treasure hunt I've been on.
Wow.
Wait, first, what did he say?
Legit.
We
Maybe
are,
he searched for
We are legit. We are. There have been a lot of them that have taken 10 years.
Yeah.
And then we had a doubt whether it was ever out there. You know which one I'm talking about?
No.
All right, you're better off not knowing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are legit.
Yep.
Thank you very much. I'm going to say goodbye to you. How far until you go home? How far is it?
2.5 hours.
Okay. Pretty good drive.
Cool.
All right. Thanks again. Congratulate everybody in the group, okay?
Okay, thanks, Candyman.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I liked him.